Tom Panos, John McGrath, Troy Malcolm, Million Dollar Agent, the podcast. We're up to around 800 episodes, I think, Troy. Thereabouts.
Thereabouts.
We started. This has got to be one of the longest serving things I've actually done in my life. I mean, don't get us wrong. We've actually had times that we've not done it for a few weeks in a row. But today I'm pumped because questions are all about what matters to the listeners. And I've got three questions. And sometimes you get weird questions, but these are questions that I think the masses would like. So before we kick off, how are you both? Start of the week?
Yeah, great. All good?
Great.
Happy Easter
for the weekend. So you, Tommy, happy Greek.
I think we've done it so long because we're quiet, bizarrely.
Sorry, John, I missed that.
No, that's all right. No, I was speaking at the same time. Sure, I think we've done it so long because we enjoy it, you know, which is kind of nice to do something you enjoy and not get paid for it. But that's all
right. We'd be good to enjoy it and get paid for it. That would be the ideal scenario, right?
Yeah, that would spoil the last decade of no,
alrighty.
No, good. I agree with you. Questions are good. I love specific questions, and I know some of the ones you've sent in today are good. Well, we might have similar or dissimilar answers. Let's get cracking and see. Well,
let's go. Question number one. I'm not going to mention who wrote them in. They were sent as DMs on social. Is there anything an agent can do to fast track a seller that is in their pipeline that wants to sell but not just quite yet? What can you do to get them to move faster? I get asked the question often by real estate agents, like, how do you actually bring people on? Troy's nodding. I presume that comes up in the McGrath network. I mean, I've always had the view, if some parents are moving next year because that's when they're moving, their HSE ends on that day or the job transfer happens, that's a condition that you live with. Just because you need to get four listings that month doesn't mean they've got to list their property, right? But is there things that you could do in those situations that might influence or encourage sellers, particularly if you in your heart believe it's better for them to do it right now?
Yeah, I think that last sentence, Tommy, is critical. I mean, I don't like the word fast track, because that suggests self-interest and it's to make my budget or because, you know, I want to get paid quicker. I'm with you that our role, a bit like a lawyer or a doctor, if you will, not as important, but nonetheless, is to help diagnose their situation. I'll give you an example. Literally last night, I was up at our oval. As you guys know, I take our two little girl, baby, female dachshunds for a walk every afternoon at sort of, you know, 5 o'clock sunset type time. And there's lovely couple that sit in the grandstand, which is not too grand. It's just a tiny little stand at the oval. And they watch the dogs play every day. Anyway, long story short is I was talking to her and she said, we're thinking of going up to Sunshine Coast. I said, okay, well, it sounds exciting. And they said, yeah, you know, our place here is worth $1.5 million and we could sort of buy something up there for $1 million and, you know, put the half into whatever. So all I did, because they were bringing it with me, they know I'm in real estate, they were looking for my advice. All I did was ask a number of questions to help them identify, is this the right decision and when would be the right time? So after a few questions, I kind of came to the conclusion, which I checked with them. I said to them, look, Maria, it sounds to me like you've made the decision to move, you just haven't made the decision as to when to move. And she said, and he was nodding, Richard, her husband, was nodding furiously, and she said, yeah, that's the way to put it. And I said, so what I need you to think about is what would be the catalyst to make you feel like it's the right time? Now, they haven't got the right answer for that yet. And I just said, you know, well, just think about it. But by asking a series of questions, and it wasn't to sales pitch, it was just to try and help them. It was to identify, have you made the decision to sell? And if not, let's talk about what are you thinking? What are the pros? What are the cons? And the key thing here, Tommy, is to do it selflessly, not with a view to try and twist them your direction to earn some money, because this is someone's life, which is far more important than 2 or 3% commission to you. So I just ask, so what are you thinking? I literally say, what are the pros? What are the cons? How about this? Have you thought about that? Here's what I've found in the past. And in terms of timing, what would make it feel like it's the right time? And just by asking a series of questions, and I could see them kind of untying themselves in knots last night just by asking half a dozen questions. And they left the park or the meeting a little bit, wasn't a meeting, it was just a chat, feeling better. So I think, you know, from my point of view, everyone I deal with knows I'm selfless. I'm coming from a point of what's going to work for you, not me. I figure that if I help you understand, is it the right decision? And if so, what is the right timing? And I do it without any bias, you're going to be predisposed positively towards me. And I also think, you know, life's short and this is a big decision, so I'm not going to try and push you in a direction. So I think, you know, you call it beautifully, Tommy, commission breath. I think you just got to make sure that so that's why I get rid of the word fast track. So how I'd rebrief it into whoever sent it would be, what questions can you ask a client to identify whether moving is the right decision and whether it's a clear decision, or what else do they need to know from you to help them make the right decision for them? And if they, or when they do make the decision to move, how can you help them identify the best time? So I left them with a question last night is, why don't you have a think about what would it take for you to feel this is the right time? I can tell energetically the husband, Richard, wants to move faster than his wife, and that's fine. But they need to sort that out between them. And there doesn't really seem to be any particular catalyst. They're retired. It's not like daughter's going through the HSC. So I just said, just have a think about that and let's have a chat. I'll be back here tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and you can ask me whatever questions. So I think it's all about good quality questions posed with selflessness, with the client's interest, not your own. Troy.
Yeah, I agree. Once you've got that understanding of the outcome they're trying to achieve, you then need to become the beacon of information, the data and the insights that, Tom, as you said earlier, help influence them to make the right decision. And it has to be the right decision every single time for the client. The reality is we're in this profession called real estate. We should know the stats, the data, every property that's coming to market, every competing property that's like theirs that's probably going to sell over the next 2 or 3 weeks. You've got to give them that information so they can be educated about making the right decision, and the insights that we provide with interest rates and general market conditions. But John, couldn't agree more. It has to be, once you understand their circumstances and exactly what they want to achieve, you then need to go into, well, how can I help them realize that at the appropriate moment?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it's really about twisting the question around, not to them but to you, is, you know, do you have the client's interest in mind? Because it's quite possible that you can fast track with a bit of snazzy talk and a little bit of kind of biased thinking or you know, optimistic thinking one direction, you can get someone to put their property on the market when it may not be the right decision yet, or it may not be the right time. And that would be tragic for me to think I've actually helped someone shift faster than they should have. They haven't got the best outcome and they're now uncertain as to whether they've done the right thing. I'd rather help them come to the right conclusion. If the right conclusion is we should stay here for another 2 years, well, that's great. That's what we teach. Now, not just in our company, but, you know, you do it at the real estate gym, Tom. We do it at McGrath and through ARIC and some of our channels like this, is, you know, just what is in the best interest of the client, not what is in the best interest of you, the agent.
I was just listening to you both. I'm going to bring up a case study that actually encompasses what you've both said. It was a property in the Sutherland area. The owner didn't get the price he wanted at auction, and I remember going in and I just asked him this simple question: do you want to keep it or sell it? And he said, look, I actually know that we've got good money for this property, I accept it, but I really wanted more, so the answer is no. I said, no problems. Then I said to him, out of curiosity, why did you actually set it in the first place? I said, I find it fascinating that you've said that, you know, you realize that it's reasonable money. But yeah, he goes, well, I want to go and live with close to my daughter. She's separated. She's got two kids and we want to help out. And I said, okay. So I said, so that plan's out the window now? He goes, no. He goes, we'll wait for the next boom. I said, okay. And I said, have you got a home there that you're moving to is an area called Padstow. I think you've got an office at Reesby with Matty King there. Yep. Anyway, I said, have you got a property there? And he goes, no, I'll buy one. And I said, so if you're telling me that your plan is that you're going to wait till the next boom to pick up what you hope is extra money on Sutherland, and then you're going to go buy in Padstow. And I said, I find it hard to believe that if Sutherland goes up, Padstow's going to go up. So you're going to be in a revenue neutral position. And I said, and if it's 3-4 years, I said, I figure that probably your daughter needs more of the support now. So I said, really, the decision you're going to have to make is it's not about money, because you're going to be in the same position. If you wait for prices to go up, you're not going to put a lay buy on Padstow now. You're going to buy something when the market goes up. And just talking him through that, he ended up doing the deal, because I think sometimes people don't know what they don't know, or sometimes people in our industry have to explain all the things that we've seen that impact them. And I think questions are a very good way to actually articulate it than just statements.
Yeah, I'm not sure that everyone, in fact, I know they haven't. In fact, a lot of people that come to us, they haven't thought it through fully. And one of the best roles we can play as agent or potential agent is ask some more questions to help them clarify. And you're right, Tommy. Look, you know, if they're moving from A to B and A and B are going up at the same pace and you want A to go up another 300 grand, well, so is B. So you're right. That is good to point that out to people, but only once you know the lay of the land. So anyway, hopefully selfless.
Yeah.
Number two.
What is the best approach to encourage some of your off-market listings to go and become an on-market listing? And this is an interesting one, because I don't know, John and Troy, look, there was a period of time in my life when I was working in real estate, and maybe it's because we didn't have the portals back then, but we never really had off-markets. You either had your house up for sale or you didn't have your house up for sale. Now we seem to have another category, which is I'm sort of on the market, but don't want to really be on the market. So, what's your view on that?
Let me rephrase. My experience is different to that. I remember from when I started. It depends what your definition of off market is, but I've always had a number of people that didn't want to sign out the front in the old days, and that was about it, or an ad in the Wentworth Courier. But were happy to sell at a good price, but didn't want the hoo-ha and didn't want open for inspections and all the rest. And I get it. I get it that if someone's kind of got a price in mind and it's fairly realistic and they don't want to have lots and lots of marketing activity swirling around, I understand that. So I think, and I say that to people today. I was out listing just 3 days ago in Strathfield, and I said the same thing. I said, I totally understand. If I put my property in the market tomorrow, I said, I'd prefer to do it quietly, silently, with no open for inspections. And that occasionally works, but more often than not, it doesn't work, and you've eventually got to go the other route, and it might be better. So, again, you know, refer to answer number one is firstly make sure that they do want to sell and you're not trying to push them, hustle them for your own benefit. So it was the specific question, though, Tommy, was around
if they're currently an off-market listing and you want them to actually, you know, put a signboard up and get them up on realestate.com, that's the question.
Yes. So the first thing is, I think, ask the questions. Just tell me a bit more time about why you guys are wanting to do it the off-market rather than the on-market. And then you have that discussion. And then I always empathize because I totally understand it. If you can get me a record price with one buyer without putting it on the portals and without it open for inspection, I'm very, very happy. Does that happen? 1 in 1,000 it happens. The other 999 it doesn't. So I think you've got to have the conversation to fully understand. You can't propose anything useful until you understand the other side or the customer's or the client's objection or perspective. So firstly is just find that out. Then empathize. Don't debate. Don't say, oh, no, you're wrong. Just say, I always say, I can understand how you do that. I think everyone would love to do that. And yet most people go to market either sooner than later. So I think that's really important. The second thing, of course, you can do if they've got, depending on your jurisdiction, if they've got a contract for sale in New South Wales, is get some buyers through it. sometimes actually getting some real people through it and getting feedback and having a discussion about that feedback makes it more real, because they can call you and two other agents in. They can sit there and, you know, sort of think about it forever. But when you actually give someone a key to your house and have some buyers through it, it starts getting real. So I think, you know, as long as you understand, as long as you empathize, as long as you ask them for some sort of tangible reasons so you can understand better, then possibly, you know, get some buyers through it. And this is one of Alex Phillips, who's the top agent in the country. One of Alex's gifts and greatness of many, which he has many, is he often gets buyers through quickly, seamlessly, qualified buyers. He's got a stack of buyers, he and his team, ready to go. He'll say, you know, Tom, I think auction ultimately could be the way to go here, but I've got two people missed out on a property around the corner last Saturday. Let me just whip them through and see what happens. And that normally either leads to an offer, a sale, or at least a conversation that leads to a marketing campaign. So I think it's just about action, having the buyers at the handy, asking more from them, and then seeing where that takes you.
Beautiful. Troisi, in your work that you do with the agents, does it come up?
Yeah, all the time. I think, you know, the main question is to understand whether it's a quick sale or a price maximization strategy that you're going into. Tom, a lot of the markets that we operate in now, there's not really off market in the traditional sense. There's normally photography, there's normally a video, there's normally an Instagram post that really does connect with the audience. They may not be on portal, but they are kind of, they're active listings. So John, to your point, having that 10 or 20 or 25 or 30 hot buyers, maybe even with a slightly higher budget, and getting them through the property when it is that quiet listing, just to understand, normally those with a higher budget know the value of property. They're not trying to get it at a bargain because they're not the budget below being aspirational. They're actually got the real dollars and the approval where they're at. So understanding that once you've got that feedback, to have that really clear expectations meeting with your client to understand whether it is a price maximization or they just want to move on to the next part of their journey. Those two factors are going to play a big part in whether it goes to a full campaign or you execute an off market or a quiet listing.
Beautiful. Well said. And I do think you've got to start with the premise on that point, John, that you said, like, it does happen. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen. I do hear of a property that wasn't on the market, an agent went in and saw it, they had a specific buyer, and it does sell for a good price, right? And I have seen that happen. That buyer had been waiting for something specific, an agent walks into the best street in the suburb, has got someone, and, you know, happy days. But generally speaking, and I would say like maybe 95% of the time, the more bums on seats, the more competition. The more competition, the more money. You should follow what probability is. Let's do that last question. Question number three. What's the best approach to handle vendors at a listing presentation who are keen but just can't sign yet, as they might have other agents coming over after you? So that's always been a question I get asked at training conferences and seminars. Are you better being first agent? Are you better being last agent? I mean, a lot of the time you don't even really have that choice. What's the view there? What do you got?
You kick off, Troisi, and I'll give
rear point. Always rear point. No. Always have a chance to go back. No, it's a fine line, right? So you've got to first understand, what is the objection or the hesitation of not committing? If both decision makers or all decision makers aren't in the room, then that probably should have been worked out before you even get to the listing presentation. If it's something else that they think they're not getting from you during the listing presentation, then ask the question. Is there anything that we haven't discussed today that you would like answered? And normally that's set up at the agenda as well. But a lot of the time it comes down to a couple of factors, whether decision makers aren't there or that you haven't answered a question or they don't have full confidence or trust and rapport with you instantly. But a lot of that, John, as we always say, a lot of it happens before you even walk in the door at the listing presentation. It always happens in the work leading up that it makes that decision a little bit easier. But if you can, also get a chance to go back and develop a strategy with team members.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, it's up front, I'll often say to people, look, you know, Troy, at the end of the meeting, I guess there's a couple of options questions, you'll either think I'm the right agent and that'll be awesome, we can get started, or you'll think there's someone better positioned than me, and I respect that. So I kind of, I try and move people in the direction of, you know, now might be the time to make a decision. And I do it subtly. I'm not trying to beat anyone over the head, but I just say, you know, that's kind of, you know, where we might get to. And I totally respect Troy if you think there's an agent better positioned than me. But if you do think that I can fulfill exactly what you're looking for, I'm ready to go. So I like an early positioning statement around that. So that's number one. Two is, I think if you trial close along the way, that is, you keep getting, you know, so how do you feel about the auction method? You know, what about the marketing? Does that plan that I've put towards you feel like it's going to fit for you guys? Are you happy with it? I think if you get a few little yeses along the way, there's a chance that you'll get a big yes at the end, as long as you ask it, by the way. Even if someone said, you know, we're meeting another agent tomorrow, I think you have absolutely the right to say, you know, at the end of it, Troy, how do you feel about that? Would you be comfortable with putting me to work? So I think a lot of agents back off when they hear there are more agents to follow. And then at the end, if, you know, despite all of the above, you know, they're saying, well, look, you know, we want to have a think about it. You know, I agree with you, Troy. Reappoint. You can say, well, look, you know, I'm around tomorrow. Would you like me to sort of pop around back in the morning, have a chat? Troy, just so I know and perhaps prepare best for our meeting tomorrow, what are the bits that you want to think about most? And then that will offer, well, you know, we still haven't made the decision to sell, or we still don't really like the auction, or we like you, John, but to be frank, you're twice the price of anyone else. At least it might give me one last chance to try and finalise a deal by reaching an agreement. So they would be, and at the end of the day, if you've got to wait overnight and go to battle the next day, you've got to. I mean, as long as you've prepared for it, you've positioned right, you've planted the seed, you've done some trial closes, you've asked for the business. If they've hesitated, you say, I sense a bit of hesitation, Troy, what exactly do you want to think about overnight, just so I can be best prepared for when we speak tomorrow? If you've done all that and you still can't get it, just go to bed and run up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, because I actually think the worst thing that you can do is get a little bit desperate and pushy and high pressure, because at least if you walk out of there and did the right thing, you are still in with the chance. But if you went in to high fast mode, typical agent speak, not only will you not get the listing that day, you won't get the listing the day after. So that was great. I love real life scenarios, because this is what our listeners are doing every minute of the day, and being able to chat about those. John, Troy,
we, I will actually 80% sold, Eric, Tommy, 80% tickets.
Yeah.
Heading towards that wonderful last bit. So we're now starting to close in, which is exciting. Trade Expo, I think, has 6 booths left, but pretty much sold out, and it's much bigger this year.
I've explained to a few of the people with Expo at the Expo stand that it's been made a lot larger this year, so there's more stands. There.
Yeah, I think we've added 25 new booths, singles, so which could be 6 quads, and we've got half a dozen left. So that's exciting that that's getting well. Ryan Reynolds has got a new doco. That Netflix doco is coming out somewhere. I know it's out somewhere else, but someone texted me today and said, this is great timing. This is going to be awesome. No, exciting. So can't wait to see all of them. Ryan Serhant in the house for 2 days at the Gold Coast, shaking hands, having selfies with people, signing autographs, whatever you want him to do. I suspect he's there because he's going to immerse himself. I get that feeling from him and his team that he really wants to make this a serious 2-day immersive event, which will be good. And we'll see. Anyway, it's time for the dog's walk, so I better jump off, and I will see you guys tomorrow.
All righty. Well, thank you again, everyone. And at the moment, Troy, the Roosters are looking good. And it's listen, there's one better feeling than losing, right? Like if you're losing, it's terrible. But when John's team's losing as well, and John's team's actually underneath the Tigers. And I haven't seen that for a very long time, John. Someone sent me the ladder. We're not last, but I don't think you're going to be last for long. I have a funny feeling you're going to hit above us in the competition. I have a funny feeling.
I agree, but I've got to say, Tigers are playing very well. There's a whole new spirit, and I've always thought Benji would be an extraordinary coach, and I think he's showing early and definite signs of that. Just to make it worse, I had a friend text me the other day about the Rabbitohs, and the friend of mine lives in England, and he said, you know the bloke you've just bought? I said, yeah. He said, he's average, and you've massively overpaid for him. So I thought that makes a bad season just get worse all of a sudden. He's average and massively overpaid. Just thought I'd let you know was the comment from this guy. I said, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Would have been better if he'd called you the week before then, John, wouldn't it?
All right. We live in hope, everybody. All right. We'll see you
at Arrow. See you next week. And don't forget, get your Arrow tickets. So there's 20% left. And if there's only 20% left, I've got to tell you, it'll be a lot less than 20% left soon because most ticket sales seem to happen this period. So,
that's right.
All righty.
We'll see you then, guys.
Next week.